This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, the top of the power hour. You know what it is on Wednesday. We bring in the Wexinator. That's right. More barn, more house, whatever. We got it all. But full disclosure, Wex, I got to tell you, right here doing the show with Max, right, in this last segment, and I got a little greedy, had a little coffee. And the fathead reaches over, that being me, fathead, and I knocked the coffee cup over. And there incited a riot of movement. Coffee in and around, lighted boards and computers. And everything. It was bad. So anyhow, welcome, Wex. Have you ever done anything that stupid?
Oh, Wolf. Oh, come on, man. You know me too well. Come on. Stupid things every day.
Oh, man.
One stupid thing after another. But today is a new day.
Yes, it is.
We're going to try again. You've already ruined this one. You can try tomorrow.
Yeah, my day's already over there. Oh, I couldn't believe it. Max, if you had seen the look on my face when I reached for that coffee cup and it tipped over, it was like, oh, no, it's everywhere.
What is it? Bounty that has that commercial where you see the two people on the kitchen counter.
No,
they gotta bring Wolfley into that ad campaign.
Exactly,
yeah, they do. Well, oh my gosh!
Before we go ahead, Wolf. I gotta say this: we got Wex. Your book came. I'm excited to tear into it when I have some time to be able to read it. Now I'm all excited. What's the feedback you've gotten on your book thus far? And tell us about the book.
I'm getting a lot of people who respect my writing and haven't read it yet and have me on their show and tell me it's going to be great. I just know it.
Well, I just got it. Now, come on.
Man, I tell you, it's so good you won't be able to put it down, and it's so easy to read. And I know you. You know, you skip the forward.
Of course.
You don't want to get bogged down. No, your forward's fantastic, Wolf. No, I'll tell you, it's light, man. You know, Wolf, you know how it is. You write the column. You struggle with the column. You struggle with the book. And, you slog along. And then you go back and you're like, oh, God, I got to reread this. And then you reread it. And it's rough. And so you patch things up and you patch things up and you say, man, I made a lot of changes. I better read this one more time.
Right,
and
correct.
Read it a third time and you polish it up and you're like, wow, I'm really sick of this book. You read it three times. So you send it into your publisher. He makes changes and he wants you to reread it to make sure his changes are okay. And so you read it a fourth time and you're like, oh, my God, nobody's going to like this. This is horrible. Horrible. And you send it in, and they make the thing, and, 3 months later, it comes back to you, and you're like, oh, my God, how bad is this thing? And then you open it up, and you can't put it down, and the satisfaction of, oh, my goodness, this is good. This is really, really good. How did I do this? Every book I've written was like that. But I think this one captured my interest more than the others. You know, I love Polamalu, and a lot of great feedback from a lot of great people, but yep. This one really flows. It's really storytelling, and that's what I wanted to hit, was the storytelling of these players in the draft. I didn't want it to be encyclopedic. I didn't want to get bogged down anywhere. And, man,
in the drafting history of the Steelers.
It is. And I tell you, the drafting history of the Steelers tells the history of the Steelers.
Mm.
Because you're only going to concentrate on the good players. You know, what did Wizard White represent? Well, he was the first character guy. I mean, this guy went on to become Chief Justice,
right?
Supreme Court Justice. Shirley Povich, and you read these great writers of the day. Shirley Povich of the Washington Post complimented the chief on, he only had him for 1 year. He led the league in rushing, and he's gone on to Oxford to be a Rhodes Scholar. But he established that he wanted a star, but not only just a star, but a star with character. And he did that. This league needed that. And so that was the first, I think, pillar of the Steelers' way, which is going to be in the next book.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, that's just Wizard
Preview.
White.
Preview.
Previous.
That's just the first guy. And then, you know, all the way through, I'm very happy and very excited. I thought you would have been three quarters through it already in like 2 days.
If I could have, I would have. I am kind of like backlogged with so much. And then stupidly, things like this coffee cup. I started a flood of stuff you can't believe.
You gotta get in the flow, brother. I mean,
I know.
You got so much clutter in your mind, and you're knocking stuff over. You're like a bull in a china shop. Sit down, get your nice coffee before you go to work. Read some nice books, you know, and move at your own pace. Man, you're letting the world control you, Wolf. You know, Wolf, you speak healing words to me all the time when I need them. And I think I'm finally learning to reciprocate, brother.
You know, I just became my brother Tunch, because I always called him Tunch Spilkin, because he was always spilling stuff. And I just did what he did all the time.
And you probably told him to get in the flow. Now, see, I'm Wolf. And
yeah,
you're Tunch.
There you go. It's all about face. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
Wax.
Y'all are too funny.
Go ahead. Your turn, Max.
Oh, yeah. No, and Wex, I just kind of, you know, I wanted to look at what you took from the Mike Tomlin press conference yesterday. Obviously, he covered a lot of things as far as health, as far as contributors. I mean, what was one of the things that you plucked out of there that piqued your interest, so to speak?
Well, the part where I said it looks like everyone's healthy, and then an hour later they signed a new kicker. That part is still resonating with me, because I thought Boswell would be healthy, and now they got Matthew Wright. And I like the Skiba kid. But anyway, Max, to answer your question, I like that Tomlin didn't get caught up in, this is what we're going to do the second half. This is how we're going to play in the second half. This is, of course, you know, we're going to not play younger guys. I expected that. But I liked his, and I think he repeated it three different times, different questions, because everybody wants a plan for how you're going to rebuild, how you're going to recover. And, you know, Tomlin wasn't just, we're worried about this game and this game alone. We're worried about practice tomorrow. You know, I really liked that. And he slowed it all down. Everybody wants a plan, something comprehensive to get out of the 2-6 hole or to rebuild for the future. He's like, I just want a good practice today. So I appreciated that.
I like that very much myself. You know, the other thing, obviously, that stood out was the discussion about Jaylen Warren. He did not turn away from the fact that, you know, there could be more targets, more reps going Jaylen's way over Najee, which he also left open, too, because here's the thing about it, and I still believe this, and I was telling Max and I were discussing this before, but Najee is too good just to be average. I just don't see it. They've got to find what it is that they can cut this cat loose and get him going, because he has so much to offer. We got to find it.
Until then, I'd like to see more Jaylen Warren.
Right. I understand what you're saying. I agree with you, but, you know, it's still – I don't want to leave that dude behind is what I'm saying.
Okay, well, you know, everybody else gets duded and left behind when they're not performing. So let's not make an exception for this guy.
Oh, I got you.
That's my feeling. I think Jaylen Warren is showing everything that is needed. And I agree with you. I like the fact that Mike Tomlin left the door open for more Jaylen Warren.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No.
Okay. No. Yeah, I mean, so what can we parse from the availability of DeMonte KZ and TJ Watt being in the A, in uniform with a helmet, and then B, their contributions on Sunday, from what Mike Tomlin said?
Well, you know, Mike Tomlin was asked about the rest of the pass rush. And if you read that answer or listen to it closely, you hear him talking about Malik Reed, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's nice. He's a three guy now. It's like getting your staff ace back. And now the guy who was struggling as the staff ace becomes a wonderful number two, and your number three. It's a whole different look at the rotation, and the same as the pass rushers now. As for Casey, boy, you know, we asked the coaches last week, they try to hide their intentions a bit, I assumed. And I also, you know, we all love the three safety look, the big nickel last year, or last preseason, seemed like a year ago.
Yeah.
And Casey was a big part of that, and then he got hurt. So he comes back, and, you know, are you going to go back with that three safety look? And you expect the answer to be, well, we're going to work it in, and you really do expect them to work on it for a couple weeks. But, man, the excitement in their body language, they didn't exactly say we're definitely going to do this,
mm-hmm.
but the excitement on Terrell Austin, on Grady Brown, the secondary coach, it was palpable. You could tell right away. So that's exciting, and I like Casey, and I like the fact that I can just write his name as Casey because I can't spell DeMonte. There's 13 different ways to spell DeMonte. Casey, I know how to spell that. And I say, hey, Casey, and I introduced myself in the spring, I think. I'm Jim Wexel. He said, I'm Casey. Forevermore, I don't need to worry about his first name. So I like that. Crazy Casey.
You know, he does play with abandonment, Casey. You know? I mean, you think about
it. I really
it.
Like him.
Yeah, I
really
do, too. Him. And, it's funny because you look at the Saints play with a lot of big nickel, too. I mean, they got three safeties out there. Anytime you got especially with Baltimore, when you got – that Picard, who's like the 300-pound fullback, you know, he's like another tight end. They will go bigger there with that guy there. But it's interesting how that's kind of I see it more and more happening in the NFL.
Well, you know, you bring up the 12 personnel, the two tight ends, and that's what Mike Tomlin was saying. The three safeties, if you look, is best for defending.
Mm-hmm.
And on the offense, if I may skip over, the loss of Claypool, I'm hoping not only – I know we're going to see more Steven Sims in Claypool's spot, but I want to see more 12 personnel. I want to see more two tight ends. I want to see some H-backs and fullbacks too with the two tight ends. Let's go four tight ends, you know, with Connor Hayward and Derek Watt. Hey, really got to get this running game going. Get a new running back, get four tight ends, and let's really give Kenny Pickett something to relax in. Something that, you know, becomes he can become more of a game manager as a rookie instead of, you know, 40, 45 passes per game. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So I think a two tight end. I asked Zach Gentry the other day, Monday. I said, hey, what about, you know, the loss of Claypool? Is it possible you're going to use more two tight ends? And he goes, I don't know. That's a good idea. I hope so. He goes, we haven't put any game plan in yet. Today was just more of a bonus day, you know. And I said, well, what about those fullbacks, Derek Watt and Connor Haywood? They're pretty productive. What about them, too? He goes, you know, you're coming up with some good trains of thought here. I don't think I ever heard a player tell me that before.
Well,
hey,
it's
Jim, calm
him.
That down. Yeah, yeah, calm that down, Jim, before the Colts call you to be a play caller, okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody's got a chance to play call there.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, yeah. I had to take
no,
a little
that's
pun.
Good, Max. That's
yeah,
good, Max.
But I mean, you're not far. Here's the thing: you're not far fetched, Wex, as far as just some creative ideas.
As I usually am. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're less fetched in this one. You're less fetched.
Less fetched.
Yeah, near but fetched. Yeah, near fetched. Near fetched. It's actually rational. But I think, you know, when I look at just where we are versus where we can be based off of available personnel and based off everything that's happened, I mean, what do you see defensively, because we just talked about offensively schematic things, mm-hmm. but just some mm-hmm. of the things you see defensively that can pick up because you have a TJ, you now have a DeMonte Casey who is – who you really wanted to model this three safety look after. Now that you have these guys back in the fold, this was your original plan going into the season, but of course Casey breaks his forearm and has to heal from that, and then of course we lose TJ after one game. But I mean, is it crazy to say that you could see not necessarily the performance we saw week one, because those statistics were just absolutely ridiculous. Just the amount of defensive plays that were made. But can we expect a moderate uptick as far as the defense and what they're able to do with these two guys in there?
I tell you, I'm feeling more than a moderate uptick, especially with William Jackson too. And I'm not sure what he has left But I'm excited because I really liked him coming out too. And so that's a corner. And then you've got Devin Bush playing so much better. I want to see Ogunjobi back. But there are other defensive linemen who've come on. And you know, Alex Highsmith is going to be so grateful that the protections are sliding to TJ now instead of him. And then you're going to have a polished veteran come in who's really up to speed. Malik Reed is going to be able to come in and give TJ a rest. I like it all. And then Cam's rested after a bye. I like it all. And, geez, this week, you know, New Orleans on the road after a Monday night game. They're 3-6 against a rested Steelers team that was bludgeoned in its last game. These, all the intangibles are on the Steelers side. This is the kind of game that can really, I know the people who realize that they for once need a top 10 draft are nervous about them to start winning and getting back to 500 and not being able to make the playoffs, just ruining draft position. But still, I mean, don't you want to see good football? Don't you want to
see? There's no question. There's no tanking. I'm sorry. The goal and the purpose is to win. And I'm sorry. I understand. You know, you want to get a top 10 people. You know that would love that. Listen, I when you're in those four walls, you don't want to hear anything about, well, it'd be nice to get a top 10. No, the whole point is to win the game. That's it. First, last, and in between. When Mike starts off that press conference and he says, you know, it really doesn't matter how you got to 2-6 or 6-2, wherever you're at, it doesn't matter because all that matters is what you do from this point forward to the game. And then you rewrite the script again. You know what I mean? And that's really how you got to live. That's what it's like to be a pro athlete, a pro football player. That's what it was like in 88 when we were 1-7 at the turnaround. It's an awful feeling, but you can't look at the second half and go, gee, I hope we lose a number of these so we can get a top 10 pick. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Okay, Wolf. So let me bring this full circle and back to me. Yes. Isn't this about me? Right?
Yeah, well, that's why we brought you on the show.
You're right. It's about you.
Yes. Okay, my book. You mentioned 1988.
Yes.
You said 1-7. It was 2-10.
Oh, was
it? They had the cheat. Well, I mean, 1-7, and then 2-10.
Oh, yeah.
So 1-7's worse winning percentage, but at 2-10, you had the. This is 2 weeks after Bubby was caught on a live mic saying we should just punt on first down.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes Bubby just spoke a little out of place, but he was speaking a true mind at that point. There was a problem.
And Dan Rooney had said, we bottomed out. That was 2-8. Then they went to 2-10.
Yeah.
And they were playing the Chiefs, who were like 3-9 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they were calling it the Aikman Bowl. And Chuck was asked at his weekly press conference about whether he might, you know, want to, you know, enjoy having Troy Aikman play for him. And would that be a goal? Chuck wasn't as nice as Mike Tomlin was yesterday. Chuck talked about how he would throw himself in jail if he ever tanked a game. And that ended that conversation. And you guys did end up winning like three of your last
four
games and ruining that. And you got Tim Worley instead of Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
But you did get Carnell Lake, and the springboard into the 90s was underway with that draft. But I liked Chuck. You know, Mike has the same kind of intention. There's no Cleveland Browns type of step back and look ahead kind of rebuilding plan. We're going to practice hard today, and then we're going to practice hard tomorrow, and we hope to win our next game and play better. And that's that. So
exactly so. That summarized Chuck perfectly. You know, because he was always about it's whatever it takes to win. You know what I mean? That's the point. That's the purpose. And if you refuted him in any way, he wrote you off faster than fast.
Right. And you know, I don't think Craig Wolfley got yanked for some young rookie just to get him playing time for the rebuild.
No.
Okay?
No.
Craig Wolfley can play this game, and he gives us our best chance to win today, and that's how it's going to be.
And that's the way it was up until I got replaced. You know? Because it happens to everybody. You know?
But, and well, my point about this year is Kenny Pickett deserves to play. It's not about rebuilding. He deserves that job. He won that job. And when you were replaced, Wolf, I don't know if you agree still. I mean, it's been a few years. If you might be salty still, but you probably deserve to lose that job.
Oh, there's no question. I was at a point in time where I was not the same player. You know, you go through whatever injuries, everything else, and there comes that same point in time. And yeah, it was a tough moment in my career, but it was one that I had to learn. You know, because I'd been a starter for almost a decade. You know, and it just it was one of those things where you just suddenly you're confronted with the mortality of your career. You know, and especially playing out of position at tackle. Frankly, I wasn't all that bad because I hated playing tackle. I was too short, man. I was too short.
Alan Faneca loves playing tackle.
I know. I'm sitting there going, you know, if I was a Hall of Famer, I'd probably be the same way. But I'm not. I was just an average Joe. And the fact is, I hated playing tackle because I was not 6'8" like my man Max. I was 6'1½". It's like, are you kidding me? Some of those guys, they could reach over the top and give me a wedgie. For crying out loud before I could lock out on him, you know? That's a bad visual, I know, but, man. You know, I'm just saying.
That's beautiful. Oh, Max, gosh. Did Alan ever tell you that you were stealing money by playing tackle?
No, he did not, thank goodness. I never heard those words uttered from him. Now, he did, of course, get on me one time when I had fallen asleep in a meeting and said, are you tired of him calling you out? And he's like, stay awake, even though I was like getting every question correct as I was passed out in the front of the room. You can't put me that close to the screen. You can't put me that close to the screen. I'm sorry. It's just going to make me go to sleep.
I wished I would have talked to you about that book. I would have got that little story in there.
Oh, that would have been a good one.
There's some great Faneca stories in there, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, Red's got some gems. I can't even imagine what you did get. But, Wex, I do want to say thank you for taking the time today. Wexinator Wednesdays, you know?
I think it's the highlight of my week, boys. I tell you, I love talking to you guys. I have so much fun.
We do have fun, that's for sure. Thank you so much, Wex. Okay, we'll have you. We'll talk to you next week, if not sooner. And thank you, as always, for the book. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll see you at lunch, Wolf.
Sounds good. All right, brother.
There it is. All right, take care. That was Jim Wexel, of course, bringing you everything that is Pittsburgh sports. I mean, he's not only a columnist and a reporter, but he's also a noted and acclaimed author as well.
Author.
Please go pick up the On the Clock book with a foreword by Craig Wolfley. It's a tremendous book. But we're gonna step aside, and when we come back, we're gonna chew on a little bit of what Wex talked about, and also continued to break down the Mike Tomlin press conference. I do want to bring up a little TJ Wattage, since we did talk about that briefly, and what that means for the Steelers defense, the boost that Wex said was more than moderate. When we come back here on the locker room, Wolf and Starks and the Ninjas here on SNR and ESPN Radio.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Clearview Federal Credit Union. For every turnover the black and gold create in 2022, Clearview Federal Credit Union will donate $500 to the Light of Life Rescue Mission. Clearview, helping people to enjoy a better life. Visit clearviewfcu.org/touchdown. And yes, this season, they've donated $5,000 from 10 Steelers turnovers. And I've had one turnover, and it was apple, and it was delish. I got to tell you that much. But okay, moving forward, one of the biggest parts of the news we've been talking about all week again. But how overjoyed do you think the Steelers defensive unit and offensive unit are going to be when you got TJ Watt lining up and getting it done again?
I am over the moon about this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just – it would be nice to see the normal plan that was enacted and started in training camp now come to fruition.
Right.
You know? Like I think that's where it is. It's that sense of anticipation and yet relief at the same time. I mean, I think that's kind of where I'm at with it, Wolf, just because – I mean, just think about what we saw in preseason and what we saw at camp every day up there in Latrobe. It was phenomenal and fantastic, and the defense just looked to be humming right from the get-go. And then the offense kind of caught up a little bit. But this defense was just, I mean, everywhere you look, there was a play to be made, and it was being made. You know, whether it was Cam, whether it was TJ, whether it was DeMonte KZ and his apparent annoyance with everybody that had an offensive jersey and ran routes. You know, it was great. And then, of course, Minka back there coaching and leading the way. And then, of course, when he gets inserted, like, it just, you know, we see the three safety concept with him, Terrell, and DeMonte. So, I mean, I want to see these things because I think it can really drastically change how we view this defense and what this defense can do for the offense, you know, as well as creating stats for themselves, you know, because and we'll talk about this tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to have our In the Locker Room midseason awards and honors segment, and we're going to look through that. But, you know, one of the things, like, defensive player of the year, like, where we started after week one with Minka and what he was able to do, you know, he's still done some great and fantastic things, but imagine if he had TJ there.
Right.
Imagine if we had, you know, guys fully healthy in the defensive side of the ball, especially on the back end. How much better he could be in this position. So I'm excited about what TJ brings, because, like, you know, I've documented yesterday and we talked about it, but he creates so much more opportunity for the other 10 guys on the field just by his mere presence, and I'm just excited to see it. And I think I'm with Wex when I talk about it could be more than a moderate uptick because of his presence. And, of course, we have the perfect opponent coming in here,
right,
against the New Orleans Saints, which we'll start breaking them down tomorrow as well. But TJ's just – I mean, he's a special player, and you can't take that for granted. I mean, what are your thoughts about TJ and what he can bring to the defense?
You know, there's something special about a teammate who is special, like a TJ Watt, coming back in and being a part of the mix. You know, as a group what you've been missing, and his mere presence is one of those things that's like the rising tide. You know, he floats all boats. You know, you think about the butterfly effect with T.J. Watt in Cincy the opening game of the season. You're an offensive line that basically hasn't played any real reps. All they've done is preseason practice. They haven't played much, none of them were playing in a preseason game except one rookie guy, right? And he wasn't playing against T.J. Watt. It was the tackle. And think about here, Joe Burrow hasn't had any snaps. He's backed up near his own goal line. He knows that T.J. Watt is out on the field. With T.J. Watt, you also got the killer that is Captain Cam on the inside. You got a young buck named Alex Highsmith who's making some waves playing on the outside of Captain Cam. And all of a sudden you're thinking to yourself, you know, I got to get rid of this ball. So what do? You float one a little bit high, and before you know it, Minka is back there catching the ball and sticking in the end zone. It's a compilation of a number of butterfly effects that happen when you have the right pieces together performing in synchronicity on that field. You know, you get my drift where I'm going with this thing? It doesn't just happen because he's there, but it starts a chain of events that begin with him.
Yeah, he's the catalyst, right?
Yeah.
He's a catalyst for a lot of good defensive plays, which then when you have those defensive plays, there's that trickle-down effect where it affects the offense in a positive way. You know, who would think – when you have a dominant player,
right,
they affect all phases of football.
They do.
And that's what TJ does. TJ affects the defense to make some dramatic and tremendous plays, but offensively you're getting the ball back in a better position than you initially thought you'd receive it. And then special teams, you now put – special teams in a quandary or a bind because they're more backed up than they would like to be, or a field goal turns to a punt, right? Or a position where you might be in a position to punt turns to a fumble, and then it becomes a turnover. Like, all of these things kind of trickle down, and 90 is at the center of those things. And I don't want to sit here and say, oh, I'm putting all this pressure on TJ to perform. It's no more pressure than I guarantee you that TJ's putting on himself.
Right.
Right? because he's been at every game. He's been on the sidelines in street clothes. He's seen what has transpired in his absence.
Yes.
And he also feels a 1-6 record when he's not in the game.
Absolutely.
He feels that.
Well, it's 1-10 now.
Whoa, I'm sorry. 1-10. I apologize. Yeah.
How about me? I got to be a fact checker.
Exactly. You went with totality. I just went with season. See, look at that. There we go. We got it. But that's tremendous. You have to know what that pressure, to know what that pressure feels like. You're good. That's why you do everything in your power to make sure you're rehabbing, and that you're staying on track, that you're not having these setbacks, because you know how important the second half of the season is going to be for your team, and especially for the makeup of your team,
Absolutely.
Like the psychological state of something that has not been experienced. Fans feel it first, then coaches feel it, and then players feel it, right? And so, everybody feels it. That is my point. We've all gotten to that point where everybody feels those pain points. And he knows that he's not a magic salve, but he is a salve nonetheless that you can put on a very, very open wound that is not winning.
Exactly so. And I'm sure you've experienced this, but I remember, as a young buck, me getting my, first few games as a starter, right? I understood that, there was a lot on me. But then I looked to my right, and there's the great Mike Webster. I looked to my left, there's the great John Kolb. And I think to myself, okay, I'm amongst these giants, and I've got to make sure, and my play level hopes and, and my play level and hopes were to rise to the level of those guys. You aspire to be like them. You know what I mean? You can't.
Yeah.
I could never replace a Mike Webster. I could never replace a John Kolb. But I can aspire and call myself to greater efforts and heights because these guys are bookending me and I'm amongst them. And there's something about that calling to you as a player, even if you're just a Joe like I was, calling to that player and it calls you to bring the very best out of yourself.
Yeah, it rises you to be the best version of yourself,
there you
right?
go. Mm-hmm.
Or something greater than yourself as is currently stated. That's what you hope. And that's what we talk. You said this, and I think it's a perfect thing. He's a force multiplier.
Yes.
Right.
There you go.
It's almost like when you walk down the dark alley and you're confronted with that opposing figure and you got a big bodyguard behind you, right?
Yep.
It's less intimidating when you walk down that alley.
Right.
Cause you got somebody in this fight that is going to back up whatever you do.
Yep.
And so, TJ brings that. He brings that bully mentality for the rest of the group and is saying that whatever I do, I know I got these guys behind me. They're going to back my play.
Exactly.
And we're to go out there and we're going to exact our feelings and our frustrations on that opponent, and there's nothing they can do about it.
Absolutely. And I think that's what he brings to this and represents to this defense. Captain Cam is one of those guys, but then you've also got TJ Watt, who is another one of those guys. And those force multipliers, as you pointed out there, the two of them together, again, it's a 1+1=3. And then you get the opportunity that TJ gets more of the chips and stuff. Now Alex Highsmith has more of the one-on-ones. And we know what he did with the one-on-ones in the Cincinnati opener, right? He had a triple sack day. He made life miserable for that tackle. That's the point in time that, a guy like Alex, now it's going to be important for him to keep his expectations and to even raise his expectation levels. He's got more on the other end of it, and they're going to pay more attention to him because he's been getting chipped like crazy. If you watch Alex, he gets chipped, numerous times throughout a game. And with TJ, that don't happen.
Yeah, no, it does not happen. I mean, more often than not, the better of those things happen.
Yeah.
And I think we have every right to feel the way that we feel with TJ being in here because we've seen it, right?
Yes.
We've seen what that manifestation is when it's present. And so I'm encouraged. I can't wait to be on the sidelines and watch this live.
Yeah.
On Sunday, because it's going to be something where I'm going to be very, very, very excited and waiting with bated breath. Bated breath. That's breathy. Yes. You know, but it's because I've been waiting to see it all season.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Like, I got to preview the toys that are coming out for Christmas, you know?
Yep.
I know what it's going to do. And so when you get to actually see that toy wound up and it's thrown out there to play or do whatever it is, like electric football, right? You know, where you set the positions and then you hit the little rumble board, you turn it on, and it starts to zzzz and things start to happen. That's what we get to see on Sunday, and it'll be, I'm sure, a most joyous occasion, because you have to think, Wolf, I mean, here just looking a little bit ahead, it's going to be a defensive introduction on Sunday. I mean, can we just go ahead and say safe to say and just put that to bed right now? That
absolutely.
Get to the stadium, be in your seat, get your hot dog, get your cold adult beverage, and get ready for the intros at that time, because this place, the lid might blow off. You know, once they announce number 90's reintroduction into the team fold on Sunday, because he will be the last name called.
Yes.
And it will be electric. And I hope that we win the toss and then defer so we can just go ahead and get it started. Just jump right out. Just throw the jumper cables on the body and just turn the voltage to 12. You know what I'm saying? Like, just get it done.
I'm all for it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Yeah, we're going to step aside real fast. I do want to make sure that, you know, we continue to let people know that, you know, we have a special opportunity here. There's a special thing that's coming up, Wolf. Do you know what that is?
The power hour is already here.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. This
just
is a
making
Western,
sure
that's more soft. It's more of a Western PA / Acrisure Stadium thing.
There you go. All right. Could it be the Hall of Honor?
What? You got it.
Boy.
You got it. Oh, my gosh. We sat there and did it, and you know what? It came. So, but even better than the Hall of Honor that's coming up this weekend.
I blew it.
We also have something else coming up. The Steelers Museum is opening.
Well, that's what that's I right. meant. It was the Steelers Hall of Honor Museum.
Yeah, exactly.
I just
it's
didn't
the
say
all
it
new
all.
Hall of Honor Museum. I know. Words are trivial, but it is still related to the same thing. You know, were you there for some of the most iconic moments in Steelers history? Well, have no fear. You can go relive all of these historical moments, and you can book your tour at steelers.com/museum. Located inside of Acrisure Stadium, there's interactive exhibits, which include videos, music, calls to learn about each moment and player, historic archives. Fans can view 6 championship rings, artifacts, and game-worn jerseys. The Hall of Honor is going to be open to the public Wednesday through Monday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Last tour of the day will be at 3 p.m. Days and hours are subject to change. And, of course, the benefits from the ticketed admission will go to the Art Rooney Scholarship Fund. So please be on the lookout for that. That is going to be tremendous. It's going to be right there above, I believe, on the second level above the Steelers Pro Shop is where we'll have the entry to get into the Hall of Honor Museum. Wolf, you and I will get to go ahead and preview that. I do want to say there's going to be some cool things in there.
Very cool
not
things.
To say that I've been in, but I'm privy to some information. You don't want to miss it, so make sure you do that and book it. But we're going to step aside, and then when we come back, Bell Lap here for In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on SNR and ESPN Radio.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ding, ding, ding. The bell lap has occurred as Wolf and I on our little faithful mules round the final bend here, leading to the finish line. That is the show for the day. And Wolf, you know, we talked about a lot during this show as far as kind of expectations, Mike Tomlin's press conference words. We kind of read between the lines. We talked about the impacts of running back shakeup as far as rotational responsibilities. We talked about T.J. Watt, DeMonte KZ. There's just been a lot to digest. But I think, you know, the biggest thing is when we look at putting a bow on the day for ourselves is it's practice. It's practice day. It's Wednesday. Live look in at what we can expect moving forward for Sunday. This is the first step in that process of it officially being Saints week for the team. The page has been turned from the bye, and now all eyes are focused on getting ready to host the New Orleans Saints as they come into Acrisure on Sunday. And, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask Wolf just initial thoughts. We're going to break into this, you know, over the next 2 days, Thursday and Friday,
right,
breaking down before game day. But just initial thoughts, because the Saints did play on a short week. They played the Baltimore Ravens at home, and then they'll be flying to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. And just what does a short week do for a team, just from your experience? And you have to travel on top of that with the short week. It's not like you're hosting on a
right,
short week.
Right.
You're going to be getting on a plane and flying here.
Right. And that's one of the things that, you know, waiting for us to turn the page, I think it's a predominant factor because of the fact you played late on a Monday night. Now you know that they're not going to be doing any, if much if any, pad work coming along. This is your opportunity coming off rested, relaxed, recharged. This is a great opportunity to come out of the gates roaring, and I mean absolutely roaring. You've got T.J. Watt coming back. You got the Saints having to suffer. They're what? They're traveling. They're 3-6. You know, they're feeling down in the dumps too. It's one of these situations where you have the cards, all the stars are lining up for you to be able to come out and kickstart the second half of the season in an appropriate way. And one of the ways that I think they can do this, and I really believe in this, Kenny Pickett, they've shown him right now some of the stats, 23 of 29, 175 off of play action or when on the move. And I say this, and I mean it wholeheartedly in a very sincere and kind of happy way. You know, he is like the Sundance Kid. You got Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And if you look at watch the old movie with Strother Martin, and you got Robert Redford and Paul Newman in there, and you know, and they ask him and say, can you shoot? And he can't shoot standing there, but when he moves, he's better. And that's what he asked Robert Redford as the Sundance Kid. Can I move? I'm better when I move. And I look at Kenny and going 23-29, 175 off of play action and rolling pockets. And one of the things I hope that Matt Canada will do is keep incorporating moving the pocket, varying the launch point, but under center, play action, bootlegs, things where Kenny can have a little ball handling a la Boomer Esiason of the late in the 80s type of thing. The dude was a regular Houdini with that ball. And I'd love to see Kenny continue and be able to move in those type of manner.
Well, I definitely think that is, you know, that's a great assessment. And I can't wait to break down more of that as we get ready to host the Saints as they come marching into Acrisure on Sunday, Wolf. But that's the show for us. The bell lap is done. We've crossed the finish line. If you missed any of our show, which was a very fun one, especially top of the second hour, the Power Hour, with Jim Wexel, the Wexinator, gracing us with his presence for the first third of the show in that second hour, you can go download all of our shows, not only in the locker room with myself and Craig Wolfley, but you can also go find the Blitz with Wes and Moats. You can find the Standard with Tom and Jacob. You can find Stan Saverin's twice weekly podcast drops. You can find, of course, our good friend Johnny Euler. I'm just gonna
pitch
put it out
to
there.
Johnny. You can't pitch to Johnny. I'm Johnny.
We're gonna always pitch it to Johnny because every Tuesday he brings us the Steelers Week in Review. That's right, Wesley Euler presents the previous game and also previews the upcoming game right here on the SNR lineup of shows. And of course, I would be remiss not to mention Bob Labriola, Mike Tomlin, the Mike Tomlin Game Day broadcast. Every game day it drops. So it'll drop this Sunday for your listening pleasure before you step into the stadium or before you sit down on the couch in front of your television to give you a little insider's perspective on what the head ball coach is looking at. Then you can find those on the Steelers mobile app, iHeartRadio app, or wherever else you get podcasts. I'm not going to tell you where to go. Just go. Like, listen, subscribe. And you've been in the locker room. For Craig Wolfley, I'm Max Starks and Wesley Euler. You've been listening to In the Locker Room. We'll be back tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel here on SNR and ESPN Radio.